So speaking of healing, how's that? Our Torah portion this week comes from the midst of the book of Leviticus. The parsha is called Tazria Mitzora. I'm looking to see if there are nods of recollection or recognition here. Leviticus, as we know, is the handbook for the priests of ancient Israel. Tazria Mitzora is this double portion that contains, well, what's to be done if you have tsara'at, which is some type of skin ailment, often known, sometimes associated with leprosy, but probably not really. It probably wasn't just the rabbis didn't see it as a physical condition. It wasn't a disease that could be cured, but rather it was seen as a spiritual affliction that manifested itself in the body. So what was it that caused this? Because in the ancient world, if you were afflicted with some disease from God, you must have done something. So the rabbis do a little bit of wordplay on the word mitzora, the person who has tsara'at, and they come out with the words motzi shemra, one who brings forth evil speech. That is to say, somebody who gossips, or somebody who doesn't use their words very carefully, or very well, right? My friend Rabbi Jason Rosenberg points out, when we use our words to hurt other people, we do damage to ourselves. We make ourselves into something icky and nasty that other people will stay away from. The rabbis took this as an opportunity to teach the lesson that we should always use our words carefully. And as a matter of fact, oftentimes with a tachabat, with family Shabbat, I'll tell the story of the little boy and the feathers. Do you know this one? Little boy who teases other people or says something wrong or bad, whatever it is that he does. He goes to his very wise rabbi. The very wise rabbi says, take a pillow, open it up in the middle of town square. Boy comes back and says, I did it. Okay, now go and collect them all. But that's impossible. The feathers have floated everywhere. So too with our words. They are out there once we have said them. You can't take them back. Or sometimes I'll tell the story, and I do with the demonstration of a tube of toothpaste. Because once you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, can't get those words back in. We use the travel size editions for the little kids for that. Right? The notion being, right, that you have to make sure that you are choosing and using your words most carefully. Well, there were a couple examples this week on how words can be used for good or for bad, or even how they get used at all. How many of you saw the news of the SpaceX rocket being launched, right? Now look, SpaceX has a different philosophy from NASA. In NASA, they test and they study and they plan and they prep and they don't build anything till they know they've got it as perfect as they can and they send it up. SpaceX, they build it and they send it up and see what happens. They learn from it, they build it, they spend it up, and it's a quicker and a different pace. It'll be interesting to see where they get to. So they had this big giant rocket, largest rocket ever created, and on top of it, the spaceship that was supposed to go up and separate from it. And instead, it went up. You know what happened? What happened? No, it had a rapid, unscheduled disassembly, which is a magnificent use of words, right? A rapid, unscheduled disassembly, right? Ways that we use words. A less innocuous example, you may have heard of, not so far over across the river, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene was in a hearing. She is not known for choosing her words carefully, although actually I think she does choose her words intentionally. In any event, during the hearing, she managed to accuse another member of the House of Representatives of impropriety and an extramarital affair. There was a call for her words to be stricken. She refused to take them back, and the majority of the committee allowed them to remain part of the record. Then a little later on, she was arguing with Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas, and called him to his face a liar. Here again, there was a move to strike her remarks from the record, to take them down. And here, they found her words so far beyond the pale of decorum that they did in fact strike them from the record and removed her words from the official proceeding. And therefore, because of that, her time was cut short She was barred from speaking from that point on in the hearing. Those were words that probably should not have been said, but were. We see the consequences of them. On the flip side, also in the news, were words that should be said, but were being restricted and not allowed. A number of months ago, Florida passed a piece of legislation that prohibited discussion of LGBTQ issues or gender identity issues with kids under the age of third grade, fourth grade, something like this. This week, at the urging of the governor, the State Board of Education extended that through 12th grade. That is to say, nowhere in public schools is there a safe space for kids to talk about or to question any of these questions about gender, about sexual identity, about LGBTQ issues. There's no safe space to use their words to be able to talk. That's an instance of words that should be said, but are not being allowed. And a third example, which we may never know fully, Dominion voting system and Fox News and Fox Network, right, came to an agreement so it did not go to trial. And we may never know exactly all of the words that were or weren't said, although we've gotten some hints and some releases of them, and the judge in his ruling and dismissing it did note that there were 20 statements that were published on air or said aloud on air that were demonstrably false. However, like the feathers, like the toothpaste, they have been out there now for years doing damage to the fabric of our democracy. Those words are out there still, doing their worst. My friend Rabbi Jason Rosenbrook points out, however, that just as we can use words for nefarious purposes to undermine things, to hurt people, we can also use words for goodness, for healing, for uplift, for making folks feel good. We do that with the words in this Siddur, in this prayer book, the words that bring us closer to God and to one another. And just one other example to do your heart good. Not this coming Sunday, but following Sunday on April 30th, here in the sanctuary at 8:30 in the morning, we are having an open house for our religious school. If you know of families, by the way, who aren't yet having their kids enrolled, send them. We'd love to take them and to show them. But as part of that preparation for that, our religious school committee and Miles Rogers, our director of education, commissioned the creation of a video. They engaged our own member, Eric Zeitlin, to record a number of our students, unscripted, unprompted, put them in a studio room, videotaped them, and asked them, what do you like about TBS Religious School? What's your favorite activity that you've done? What's fun about coming to religious school here? What do you like about our community as a whole? What are your best memories about TBS? How would you sum up TBS in a word or two? And the students, unprompted, unscripted, used words like inclusive and connection and educational. Several of them said they liked tefillah, which is the weekly service that we do, or Judaic studies, or Hebrew, or the Purim Carnival, or the Oneg Shabbat. They used words of fun. They used words of community. I wish I could show you that video, but we're saving it for the world premiere at the open house. But soon thereafterwards, holy cow, if we can get the permission from the parents, I'm going to broadcast that from every possible station that we can. Because what they say about what our community is, I think, heartwarming and a testimony to the community that we have, and they use their words for good. So this week, as we study Tazria Metzora and details and the ickiness of skin ailments and such, we can study another time. But from the rabbi's notion of watching our words carefully, we recognize how words can be used to hurt other people, to damage, to destroy or to tear down. We use our words to do good, to uplift for goodness. We hope and pray that we will heed our rabbi's interpretation of this Torah portion and follow the example of our youth and use our words always for good. Ken Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will, and together we all say, Amen. Amen.